my soul slides away. But then it slides back again, because by touring again, we can get a massive payday.
Oh, satirical.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm recording, of course, from Cardiff, where tonight...
That's where it's happening, isn't it?
Oasis, yeah, start there, comeback tour.
The comeback starts today in Cardiff.
Should we go inside the Wizard's Hood? And we're recording on Friday, the 4th of July.
We are, yeah.
Today's the day. Oasis are hitting Cardiff. You're in Cardiff, but I presume you're not at the gig, are you? You'd have mentioned that.
As we speak.
No, I'm reporting from the ground.
Mike, we're opening for Oasis. You don't know that.
Oh, God.
Imagine.
we're doing our Busted covers.
No, we're doing some Bean Machine stuff, mate.
Yeah.
The Gallagher brothers, we're very, very, very important to them that the Beans stay on their own brand. We don't want to control what they do. Let the Beans.
He said that in a Scouse accent.
Well, yeah, why did they say that in a Scouse accent?
Because, and this is the thing that I would love this so much, if Oasis actually don't play any classics.
Well, come out with Scouse accents and just play Beatles covers.
We're announcing a brand new sound. It's Scouse reggae. Diddly diddly doo, diddly with diddles. Diddly diddly doo, diddly diddly doo. Because we've always been about creativity and pushing the boundary, as long as it was a boundary that was pre-established by previous style of music that was already quite firmly entrenched as a boundary.
And not breaking it, just leaning against it.
Certainly not, if anything, reinforcing it.
Henry, in today's episode, will be played by Stephen Graham.
Oh, Stephen Graham, he's got such vulnerability, isn't he, in those eyes.
I love Stephen Graham.
But at the same time, you feel he could tear your cheeks off. You know what I mean?
With his tears.
With his tears.
But listen, Ben, how do you feel about they're going to close the roof of the stadium, aren't they, tonight?
They're going to close the roof, yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me how I feel about that? As if when they close the roof, all the electricity for the rest of Cardiff just stops so they can move the roof. We will, of course, go dark for half an hour as they close the roof.
Are they going to have to use that famous power station in Wales that I was taught about as a child?
The one inside a mountain?
The one where they pour lots of water down from the top of a mountain so that people can have a cup of tea in the event of the Princess of Wales getting married.
Yes.
I remember being taught that.
And when there's a penalty in the gap between the end of a football match and the penalty shootout starting.
That's right, yeah.
They sort of drop 100 million tonnes of water through a turbine so everyone can have a cup of tea.
Yeah. And Des Lynam's funeral. They've got a similar thing lined up for that, haven't they? They've been waiting for years. The Des Lynam's funeral effect.
Well, that's because they're going to turn off the electricity for everyone in the UK and that's then channel right. All of it into Des's body in the hope that he comes back alive again.
it is worth a shot. But what they hadn't borne in mind was that he'd lived so long that he's actually no longer that culturally important. But all the infrastructure's in place that we will be relaunching him as the first immortal human.
I didn't realise he was still alive, I've got to be honest.
You know what? I don't even realise it fully myself.
I'm not confident that he is. Either way.
In which case, it hasn't worked. And that's billions of taxpayers' money that's gone into the Project Lynam 4000 project. Which is to keep Des Lynam alive for 4,000 years.
Well, at the moment, of course, I mean, because the initial project failed, they've just had to attach him to a solar panel, haven't they? And they've left him out in the Peak District.
That's right.
And he stirs sort of every few weeks. There's a little stirring. So you know he's not at peace, but he's not alive.
Also, they're having to put so much Factor 50 on him all day long. Isn't it? People are having to slather it on. And they're getting prisoners to do it and stuff. It's a form of community service you can do now.
Yeah, he's got to be kept greased.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a bit like those little piles of stones that ramblers leave. It's instead of that, they ask you just to empty a sun lotion on him as you go past.
Empty some sun lotion on Lynam.
My understanding with the roof thing, Ben, was that...
Yeah, what is your interest in the roof?
I just heard, because I was in Wales yesterday, and I heard on the grapevine that was the chat was about the roof.
Right.
And that people going were sad about the roof being closed because it would be... deadly hot, and the people
who
live nearby were sad about the roof being closed because they wouldn't be able to hear it properly.
Yeah, kind of had a big week of hearing gigs because we've got a new outdoor venue that's just a field.
Okay.
And basically somehow, because of something to do with the wind and all sorts, basically everyone in Cardiff could hear a kind of perfect Alanis Morissette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just across the entire, like everyone can just perfectly hear Alanis Morissette.
What, from Glastonbury?
No. So he did a gig in Cardiff like 2 nights ago.
Is that because seagulls in Glastonbury were swallowing the sound, flying to Glastonbury, flying to Wales and then regurgitating it out over Wales? That could potentially happen.
But cleaner, yeah.
And then last night was Mastodon and Slayer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of maybe standing next to a metal wall to listen to Stevie Wonder next week.
Okay. Will he be on the other side of the metal wall?
Yes, with all the people who've paid to see him.
So will you be bringing the metal wall yourself? Is that because...
Does that I'm going to get in disguised as a metal wall.
Because it's true, as you dress up as a metal wall and just look confident, you can walk into anywhere on earth.
Because they're onto your shuffling traffic cone routes, aren't they? They've seen you.
They know that one. They know that one.
The traffic cone is too huge. It's three times the size of all the other traffic cones.
They know the dressing up as a Alanis Morissette trick. Because they look at you and they go, hang on, she's on stage. Who are you?
Of course, interesting story about that. And that's, of course, how she started out. Wasn't it? Was breaking into
her... She was her own tribute act.
She started off as her own tribute act and it snowballed
from
there.
People assume she must be huge if there's a tribute act.
She's got to be massive. A lot of acts don't do it that way now.
Yeah.
Well, so they start with the pun name of their own name.
Yeah.
So something they'll call themselves something like...
Ooh, that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, what's the Alanis Morissette one?
Yeah, they'll start with a name like Not the Cheesy Boys.
Yeah.
Get big, and then they'll just knock off the knot, and then they'll just be called the Cheesy Boys, whatever.
Okay. Do all the cruise ships.
That's more of a cruise ship sort of, yeah, you're aiming at cruise ship with a name like the Cheesy Boys. What were we saying?
Me going to listen to Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Next to a wall.
You should do that. My worry is the metal wall, because it's very hot at the moment, you'll end up sort of baked into a kind of... Pompeii-type effigy of yourself, but
grooving.
Grooving, yeah.
But people will then visit that as an expression of what it's like, you know, just because you'd be frozen in the shape of a person enjoying I Just Called to Say I Love You or whatever. Because I used to absolutely love that song.
Superstition all the way for me. That's my number one, Stevie.
Overplayed.
Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Lovely.
Good. But I Just Called to Say I Love You was absolutely massive. In the 80s, and I remember being a kid on the carpet, like lying in front of the telly when we all watched Top of the Pops, and it was number one for ages and ages, and everyone absolutely loved that song. But actually now, historically, I think that's a fairly naff Stevie Wonder song, isn't it? That doesn't make
I would agree, any, yeah. It's not a classic.
But that's seared into my mind as a definitive Stevie Wonder track.
But yeah, I sort of can't be asked to pay £92 to see Stevie Wonder, but I will waste an evening... trying to get a glimpse through a metal wall, I think.
Yeah, I tell you what. So last year, there's a big festival in London called Wireless Festival, I think.
Yeah. Is that in Victoria Park?
Finsbury Park.
Oh, okay.
If it's the right one I'm thinking of. And they erect huge metal walls every year in Finsbury Park. And it's so bizarre because it's like, it's a music festival. So I guess it's supposed to be a celebration of like quite positive, creative, cool vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But for that to happen, they have to create an Orwellian dystopian hell zone in a nice green open park with literally metal walls. It's so like sinister.
Yeah.
To keep out people from this cool, inclusive, fun, cool vibes. Keep out. Hot metal. Try and climb the hot metal and see how many hands you've got left by the time you reach the top.
That's right. You've got six now somehow.
You've got six now.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Hey. Which means you're going to have to pay three times more for your ticket. Because we don't do a head count, we do a hand count.
It's a wristband system. You've got to buy. You've got to buy more wristbands.
So last year, I took my nieces for a little park, you know, going to the park to go on the swings session.
Yeah. Let's be honest, Henry, they were taking you.
Let's be brutally honest. And I need to work off a lot of energy in the afternoons so that I can properly enjoy my nap. What's wrong with that? And if I haven't burnt enough calories on the swings, I will get in a bad mood just before my ice cream. Yeah? What's wrong with that? If I haven't been on the seesaw, I'll probably then get really, really... I'll need more sweets, then that should mean I'll run around, I'll appear to be in a good mood, but then I'll start crying and shitting myself just before bed. What's wrong with that, Ben? Anyway, so we went down there.
Yeah.
And sure enough, not realizing that this huge metal dystopia had been created by basically music labels.
Mm-hmm. The man.
The man, so that he can make the shareholders happy. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in that process, there are people going, hey, cool, let's start a band, make music and stuff. But they're all just part cogs in a giant, horrible corporate
Where are these
death machine.
I've never met any of these shareholders.
I know.
Where are these people?
Why is everything about them?
They've got so much control.
They've got so... We never see them.
They're so malign.
So malign. Everything's happening for them. Are they enjoying it? Are they at least getting something out of it? Everything?
Well, in just endless meetings and conferences.
Well, I always picture them around a slightly 1980s-style boardroom.
I do. Yeah.
Table.
I picture them in a sort of dark conference room, looking at charts on a PowerPoint. Yeah.
It could be that these music festivals, the whole thing really, once you get into the financials, it's all about that they actually own a lot of, like, metal mines.
Oh, God. And
it's all about those metal walls.
It's about tungsten.
Yeah. They're just
it's all about tungsten.
They're just creating demand for metal walls.
And that's why people having to dig for tungsten.
Ship tungsten, mold tungsten. And if you've got a wall, you've got to put something behind that wall. Might as well be some music. Yeah.
I'm just looking at whether you could make a wall out of tungsten. Pretty sure you couldn't. I don't know. Tungsten is widely recognised as the preferred material for plasma-facing components in next-generation fusion devices.
Okay, so that sounds like a pretty expensive wall, but all the better, right? You know?
That also sounds like an entirely made-up sentence that was made up for the shareholders for some reason.
Well, to stymie someone like Ben's attempts to find out what on earth's going on. Just make the first sentence of the Wikipedia page completely unreadable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's given up. Look, you can see he's tired all over.
None of us want to carry on with that sentence.
No one's going to pursue it anymore.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, let's go and see the Killers in Finsbury Park. Hey?
Or let's go and support big tungsten mining, which is what you're basically saying when you say, let's go and see the Killers. So we got to the little park with the play area stuff.
Yeah.
Which was right jutting up against the huge tungsten structure. So for one thing, it created really quite a dystopian sort of image of some sort of weird future where children have to play under the shadow of big tungsten. Well, the sort of aristocracy, the top level of society are all in behind the tungsten wall. How do they live? We don't know. So we went in, for one thing, we had to go through a security check to get into the play area.
Really?
Oh, that's bad.
Because to stop people pretending to be walking, what they were worried, what they were thinking
was... Masquerading as families.
Yeah, that I was going to go in and, of course, get towards the swings and then raise, those aren't nieces at all.
That's status quo. We're getting you in, guys. You deserve to be on that stage.
And if you've ever seen the film Transformers, it's quite a sight. What's he called again, the guy from Status Quo?
Francis Rossi.
Optimus Prime.
It's quite a sight. If you've seen the Transformers films, it's quite similar to see what appears to be a 7-year-old niece unfolding and turning into Francis Rossi. It's an incredible sight.
His six string at the ready.
His six string at the ready. But in a sort of like organic, fleshy version of a Transformer. So instead of bits of metal sliding between each other and off each other, it's bits of flesh and bones.
Collagen.
Collagen spraying around. Bits of bones pressing out through cheek flesh.
Fat encasing for his liver. Some spare nostril hair.
The only thing left from the niece is the ponytail.
Which he affixes to the back of his head.
That's the final moment of the final swagger. He fixes it to the back of his head, turns on his Cuban heel, and walks straight into the hands of the Metropolitan Police. Because you're still not getting in, Francis Rossi. You're not on the fucking lineup.
The Met's on tungsten's dime, baby.
Of course it's on tungsten's dime. What do you think those helmets are made of? So we had to be checked out that we were genuine uncle and nieces. Mm-hmm. So they let us into the play area. No, basically they're worried that people are going to try and climb in or use
genuine
that.
Uncle detected.
Yeah. Obviously, the uncle test.
Tedious anecdotes
approved. It's actually quite a simple test. No, the uncle test. It's a simple. They inject one eye with a bright green fluid.
they test to see what percentage of your skin is currently flaking.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Over 30 and you're good. they put some wraparound shades on you to see if they suit you or not. If they don't suit you, that's a positive.
They ask you how many times you've seen Top Gun.
They then test you on that by giving you a Top Gun Q&A.
Q&A
with a ghast. See how you react.
Yeah, it's quite it's very expensive for them to do.
It's the only way to be sure.
It's the only way to be sure. You have to then quickly put on 10 different pairs of chinos that are very similar, and then test you afterwards on which ones are which. You have to then identify them from a chino lineup where you see the chinos, and all the chinos are being worn by guaranteed uncles, but one's not an uncle. If you yourself can identify the one that isn't an uncle, that's in the positive column for you actually being an uncle, because uncles know their own. Oh yeah, they know, we know our own. Yeah, and then they just ask you, are you an uncle? Just if you could be honest, it would really help, and you give them a straight answer, and you're done.
There is a sort of boring and serious point about this, isn't there? Which is there is an encroachment of municipal. The park is a municipal thing, right? Mm. Which you're meant to be able to enjoy, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
And they've kind of actually just changed now into festival venues. And it's bad. I think it's really bad.
And it's for the shareholders.
It's for the big tungsten.
But it's also who's policing that, because that isn't the Met. I mean, that'll be just like some random security. Do you know what I mean? Some guys swinging it about with some high-vis tabards. They can be tricky customers.
Yes.
Tungsten security, basically. Private tungsten security.
Anyway, so we got into the little park area. Mm. Let us in as a legitimate uncle and niece's unit. Mm. Well, it kind of slightly took away the fun out of it being processed through a security system.
And you've been probed and frisked and stripped and the rest of it. Yeah,
and humiliated. They break you down, and they'd managed to reconstruct my childhood bedroom, which they put me into. And went, you've soiled yourself, haven't you? You've soiled yourself. Why have you soiled yourself? And I was crying and wailing. I don't know. And then they said, yeah, you're fine, you're in.
You can't keep an ant as a pet, Henry.
No, Bishop Humphrey isn't the same ant. We've replaced him every 3 days for the last 10 years. And he was never an actual bishop. By then, he wasn't even an ant. He was one of those little flecks of fake mud you get from five-a-side pictures. With a tiny tabard. Anyway, look, for the love of Christ, we got into the park.
Yeah.
And then there was this music playing.
Mm.
And we started listening to the music. And then I got onto my phone and I Shazammed from live. So that was quite a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Through the tungsten.
Through the tungsten, because you can hear it all. I Shazammed from live.
Yeah.
Which, in a way, is a good way of telling how tight a band is. If you can identify them through Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to Shazam the... Stand outside Cardiff Stadium tonight, Ben, and Shazam it, I reckon it would come up as...
industrial drill.
An industrial drill has somehow been dropped onto a slaughterhouse. and there are two northern men are failing to deal with the crisis. That's what I can't do, I reckon.
But if you are going tonight, let us know what the vibe was. You know.
Yeah, I do quite like Oasis.
I would like to have gone. I did try to go.
Did you?
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
We've screwed over by the dynamic pricing.
Yeah, yeah, and the tickets ran out. And that was, I didn't even realise that was happening until it was happening before my eyes and people were talking about it. It was weird and crazy, but I did manage to get tickets.
I vaguely tried. Mm. I set up my laptop and pressed refresh every now and then. Was that enough?
I'd sooner eat pins, I think. Just for balance.
Nice. Well, in that case, do it, Ben. Do it. But what about their lyrics?
There's an eye in the sky. It's the eye of my mind. There's a sky in my mind. It's the sky of my eye.
That sort of thing. What about that sort of thing? Anyway, we Shazammed them, and because it was like, this is really good. And it was Doja Cat.
Ah, I don't know Doja Cat.
I don't really know Doja Cat, but I sort of briefly had a Doja Cat moment.
I think she's a kind of sexually explicit rapper, right?
I think so, yeah. It was really good. Hmm. I had a sort of Doja Cat summer last summer based on that.
Did your nieces return home with some new vocabulary?
They did. Hmm. I mean, they were really into it. But actually, when what then happened was we then left the park and realised that on the hill behind the park, so there's the metal tungsten walls park and then this hill, and then suddenly we spotted the hill was actually covered in people. So there is a sort of culture of you go for the day.
Like
you
the
sit,
battle picnickers of
yes.
yore.
So people sitting around picnics, sit people on each other's shoulders.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of whole world where you're not giving anything to the shareholder, not giving anything to the tungsten people. You're also not giving anything to the artist.
That's what you think.
Technically.
But where did you buy your picnic from?
Holy shit.
Yes.
Big and where tungsten. Where did you buy those trousers with the reinforced gusset?
Big tungsten is always a step ahead.
Should we turn on the Bean Machine?
Yes, please.
Now, obviously we normally play the Bean Machine jingle.
Yes.
But I was looking through the old jingles folder in my email account.
Yeah.
And somebody sent one in 2 years and 6 months ago.
Oh, dear.
Who's and that? Either I've forgotten to delete it from the email account or we never played it.
Who's it from?
It's from Sam.
Okay. Sorry, Sam, if you've been ignored.
Anyway, this is from Sam. He sent it in January 2023. Here is my version of the Bean Machine jingle scored for an epic superhero film.
I think Ben meant to say superhero film, didn't he?
What did I say?
Superhero film.
Just be quiet for a minute, Henry.
You said that as if superheroes have only ever existed in mediums outside of film, such as stage and jazz and stuff and comics. A superhero film. Anyway, sorry, I've got to shut the fuck up. Go on.
I think I was probably subconsciously trying to add some intrigue or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, here is my version of the Bean Machine jingle scored for an epic superhero film.
Said like a true proponent of big tech at the cost of humanity. Yeah. That's the closest reflection of your actual soul we've ever heard.
That's really slipped there.
That was the mask really
slipped. That's the Ben we know outside of the pod.
Yeah. It's mechanical. It's amoral. It's unfeeling.
It's bloodthirsty.
It's bloodthirsty and it's relentless.
Here we go. This is the jingle sent in 2.5 years ago by Sam.
Great stuff. I don't think we've heard that before. I'm sure we've heard that before.
This week's topic, as sent in by Cariz.
Hello, Cariz.
From Los Angeles.
Cool.
Wow.
Is archery. It's a good sound, isn't it?
Not bad, yeah. We've got an archery club near us that sort of practices in a local school on a Wednesday evening. Sometimes Pam and I walk past them.
Target or hog?
I'm pleased to say it's target. And archery looks like the sort of thing that could be a bit of fun, but there's maybe about a dozen of them. They're nearly all men of a certain age.
Yes, I was going to say.
And they look thoroughly miserable. Thoroughly miserable. But they are there week in, week out.
Yeah.
Firing these arrows. And the bows they've got are extraordinary. They've got like...
They look kind of high-tech, don't they?
Yeah, they've got they've got extra bits that poke out. And
you only ever see them at the Olympics.
Yeah, they're those ones.
Where
they've got
lots of...
They look really unwieldy. Like, yeah.
Little sort of bits you can twist and...
And I think so, yeah, you have that and a special glove.
Special glove.
And immense concerns about safety. Mm. So I think they have flags and bells when they can walk over and retrieve their arrows. But they look so miserable. I never get the sense that anyone's enjoying. There's no chat. I never see them chat.
Of course, safety-wise, putting the cafeteria directly behind the targets was a mistake, isn't it? You've got to, they've held their hands up, haven't they? And also selling those target T-shirts. And all the merch was a mistake, wasn't it? The target beanies. And the target dog jumpers.
Target short shorts.
Mm-hmm. That was all a mistake. It has that vibe of you tell Carol it's just a hobby, and it is just a hobby. It's a positive place for men to get together and do something.
Mm-hmm. It's in a sort of sanctioned, violent way. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. But actually, when you're doing it, I think a lot of those men are thinking, when society goes to shit, yeah, there's going to be one man standing up against.
And as long as the zombies stay still, I'll be able to hit them.
and are between 8 and 9 yards away from me.
and I mean perfectly still.
They don't attack me in any sort of light breeze.
And also we're going to have to coax them into zombie face painting fates where we can get target designs adhered to their faces. So we're going to have to get them into face painting.
Yeah. And as long as the next zombie is another 8 to 9 meters behind that zombie so that I can retrieve my arrow from the first zombie.
Because arrows
are, I will run out of arrows. I will run out of arrows. I only fit 6 arrows in my quiver.
Yeah. And they're at a premium, so yeah.
Oh, these are decent arrows.
And I will need a cafeteria and a toilet. As well, so we're gonna need a lot more cafeterias and toilets,
and some tubey grip for my tennis elbow as well, because that's going to flare up.
Will we be able to make tubey grip out of bark?
Okay, don't worry, Colin. So it's going to be us and the tubey grip guys. Okay, we shall be the very kings.
We shall be the very kings at the vanguard
of the new Arcadia.
Have you seen, I went to see 28 Years Later.
Oh yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
Which is a big recommend for me. It was really good fun.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Archery is taken off in that. So obviously the zombies arrived 28 years ago. Mm. And the people who are still surviving are doing so because they're shit hot at archery.
I see.
Mm. But it's true, the retrieval thing is a bit of a flaw, isn't it, in the archery system?
Well, I thought of that because in this film there's a bit where one of them runs out and you think, well, this must just happen all the time because they're quite big. You can't carry many of them.
No.
They're not good in too close up, are they? They lose their... Archery is very much at a distance, isn't it, I'm thinking?
I don't know, Henry. I think if you went up against an archer at a foot range, you might come off the worst.
Oh, you think so, do you? But you don't know about my total utter disregard for basic
physics.
I don't care. Yeah, but I just come at you with my nails and a claw and a scratch. I actually screech.
That'll really put an archer off, right? Because they do prefer quiet.
Yeah. And also, I've got a brilliant way of taking on an archer is what you do is you build a dummy second head for yourself, which you attach to your own head around your neck.
Sorry, where's it positioned? Around the back of your head or on the top of your head?
No, next to my head.
So they've got to choose whether or not to shoot the head that's sitting on one of your shoulders or the one that's in between your shoulders.
Exactly. But you make him make that choice.
That's all the time you need.
No, then
and you're screeching at him.
No, all you need is a big... All you need, actually, is a...
Shotgun?
That's true. That would help. I was going to say a darts board. I was not expecting that.
Oh, he's going to love the challenge of a darts board, isn't he?
Exactly. You just hold it up. Just targets and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll just always go for the target, not for you. Mm.
Yeah, because he's like, should I get Henry Pegg's head or should I go for treble 20?
Or treble 20.
And you're going to go for treble 20 every time.
You've got to go for treble 20. Because of the glory.
You've got to go for the glory. You've got to go for the pub fuel, the chat fuel, haven't you?
180! In like medieval battles and stuff.
Yeah.
This is an obvious thing, but being hit by an arrow would be awful.
Horrible.
But would it be better than being cleaved into by a bloke with a halberd?
I don't know. It might be that the latter's a bit sort of quicker.
The thing is, none of it is killing you on the spot in medieval battles, is it? It's all
being cleaved, literally
having your head taken off by an arrow in the middle.
The next, it's like Glastonbury. The next day, there's just a littered,
it's got a rotten hangover.
loads of people with rotten hangovers.
And you miss Neil Young.
I miss Neil Young because I had my my torso sort of laterally cleaved, so we were able to patch me together. But everything ate goes straight through me, out the mega gash.
Yeah, but you'd rather be an archer, I think, in one of those battles than one of the infantrymen, wouldn't you? Surely.
Yeah, because did they get involved afterwards, or did they just go home after they'd fired the arrows?
Well, I think it depended. I think they got to go home if they won, but if they didn't win, then they might suddenly find themselves being chased down by a bunch of horsemen.
Yeah,
and then you're in real doo doo.
Well, then you've got that moment in the film where the horseman comes around again and he goes.
It's one of the guys from Daft Punk.
It's very much similar to a music festival, isn't it? Glastonbury came out of medieval battles. It's very much a kind of... They inform each other, the two traditions.
If Fatboy Slim gets to the top of the hill, you've had it.
Yeah, you're all fucked.
Yeah. Isn't there a thing where in medieval battles, like, I'm sure I've seen in films, especially with the Romans, right? Mm. On one side, all the people fire all the arrows.
Yeah.
And on the other side, they all just hide behind
their shields.
It's shields. A bit like, we've got arrows, we've got shields.
So they've cancelled each other out. Well.
Cancel them both out.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
And let's just watch Neil Young.
Let's just enjoy Neil Young. And maybe get like some sort of hot wrap.
See if they've got churros.
I think this place is doing like goat curry. Sounds really good.
Big queues, yeah, it's a little Nepalese place. It's great, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Try that out. But actually, so hang on, you put shields down, arrows down, quivers, shields, all down. Actually, I was joking. Get your arrows back out again. We were joking too. Get your shields back out again.
It only takes one. That's all it takes.
One. Because, no one's going to do that. That's the tragedy of it, isn't it? Mm. It was good the way the Romans made those, like, tanks out of... out of shields.
So they're kind of like... Were they cancelled out then in battle, or were they still...
I assume quite a bit. But there would have been the odd one that got through, right? It's going to go through someone's toe somewhere and cause them a problem.
Yeah, I guess so.
The odd gap here and there, you know.
But of course, you talk about cancelling out, Ben, but of course, the truth is a lot of warfare has always been about the, what's the word?
Tungsten industry.
Because if your arrow isn't tungsten tipped, then you might as well not be at the battle. And that's a genuine ad from 974 that was found on some parchment. What's it called, with the Cold War and nuclear arsenals and disincentivizing war by having loads of big missiles?
Mutually assured destruction.
It's all about mutually assured destruction. And it always has been. And so, because obviously back in the old days, back in medieval times, it was about building bigger and bigger arrows, wasn't it? So Britain had an arrow built whose circumference was like 6 miles wide, didn't they? And then the French were building an even bigger arrow. And the idea was an arrow.
They hadn't worked out how to launch it.
Just they hadn't worked out how to launch it.
It's an open secret. Yeah.
But it kept things, it kept a sort of uneasy status quo going because, of course, the idea of an arrow that could wipe out Londinium was quite a terrifying idea.
Or Parisium.
Or Parisium.
It, of course, was Welsh longbowmen who won us the Battle of Agincourt.
Yes, indeed. Agincourt, apparently. A big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one in the history of this stuff, isn't it?
And the yew tree. God bless the yew tree. The yew tree. The Welsh longbow, that's where they got their, that was their, where they got their wood from the yew.
Was it?
The perfect springiness for a
longbow. Is that right?
Oh, that's cool.
And the rapid fire, right, as opposed to the crossbow.
Was it the rapidness of it that was so devastating?
I think so. The crossbow's harder to sort of to make exciting in, like film and things, isn't it? There was a trailer. There was someone trying to make a William Tell not a few years ago, and the trailer it just looked like half the trailer was a guy winding up the bow. Do you know what I mean?
And also
that little rap. It's just not. You can't watch this all.
It's this summer. You better run. in a bit. Yeah. Definitely, you've got time to say, collect some stuff, do some. pack all your favourite.
Make sure your paperwork is in order.
Make sure your paperwork.
Definitely empty the freezer before you go.
Probably empty the freezer. Actually, needs defrosting anyway, so that's actually not a bad thing. But I think the other reason it's hard to sell a William Tell film is it's one of the most spoiled stories of all times, in the sense of there was a man, there was a son, there was an apple.
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Because he gets the apple, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is that the whole story?
Yes.
There's got to be more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes.
I don't remember what the reason is. I'm sure it must involve a sort of evil landlord type person, surely.
Who says, for rent this month, I want a cloven apple. I want a high-stakes cloven apple.
Yeah, and maybe William Tell's gone, yeah, what, fine instead. Yeah, I'd rather that than the cash, actually, because I'm a bit strapped. So I'll, yeah, great, let's do that.
It, also, if you sort out the extractor fan in the downstairs bathroom, I want you to do something in return. So, yeah. It's getting a bit mouldy in there.
Yeah, and it's for your own good, because, I mean, long term, it's going to be in real trouble if we don't get them all out of that room. Yeah.
So I've just looked up the plot. Do you want to hear the plot?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay. William Tell is arrested. It's set in Switzerland, by the way.
Oh, not Sweden. Okay. Because one of the swas.
Tell is arrested for failing to bow in respect to the hat that the newly appointed Austrian Vogt Albrecht Kessler has placed on a pole.
Oh, so William Tell is a villain. As I interpret it. You've got to bow to the hat. You've got to, if that's a Habsburg hat and he's not bowing to it. Who
on a pole.
Does he think he is?
And Gessler, who's the Austrian, commands him to shoot an apple off his son's head with a single bolt from his crossbow. After splitting the apple with a single shot, supposedly on November the 18th, 1307, Tell is asked why he took more than one bolt out of his quiver. At first he responds that it was out of habit, but when assured he will not be killed for answering honestly, he says the second bolt was meant for Gessler's heart, should he fail.
I'm missing the bit where... So I understand that the evil landlord is cross with him that he won't bow to the hat, but why is the punishment shoot an apple off your son's head? Why is the punishment have this deadly weapon?
Yeah.
When I'm standing... You've already shown that you're disobedient. Do you know what I mean? That you've got a problem with authority.
Yeah.
Why are you giving that guy a chance to... A free shot with a crossbow.
When you could have shackled him to a hog and pushed it off a cliff. Clean, it's clean.
It's efficient. It's clean, it's humane. It's modern.
Exactly.
In 14th century terms, it's the most modern punishment going. It's the real reform, progressive end.
It's the progressive way of
the crime and punishment system.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what happens next?
Yeah.
So this guy Gessler's pretty pissed off that Tell sort of evokes his murder.
Mm. Yeah.
So then he was bound.
Oh, God.
And carried to the dungeon of the castle at Kusnacht.
Mm-hmm. Nothing good happens in that place. No. I'm gonna warrant.
No. That's, yeah, meaning of which is Night of the Arse.
I think the castle's in the middle of Lake Lucerne, and they're in a boat. And then a storm breaks out, and the guards are afraid the boat will sink. Mm-hmm. They beg Gessler to remove Tell's shackles so that he could take the helm and save them. Mm-hmm. Don't know why he's better placed to do that than they are, but Gessler gives in, but then Tell steers the boat to a rocky place and leaps out.
This sounds like it would make a decent film, to be honest.
He then runs cross-country to Kusnacht.
That's a bit of a boring... The cross-country section's a bit dull.
That's always, yeah, that's hard to... Yeah. So he's good at crossbow, cross-country.
It's all cross-sailing.
Like a sort of modern triathlon type thing.
Yeah. Which means there'll be a lot of talk of personal bests and stuff, which would be quite annoying.
Yeah, protein and nipple ointments.
Nipple ointments, yeah.
Gessler is chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell turns around and shoots him with the crossbow.
He's still got his crossbow on him. Why haven't they taken that off?
That was a mistake. Come on, guys.
These guys have not done the basics in prison management.
Tell's act sparked a rebellion which led to the formation of the old Swiss Confederacy.
Gets really quite boring at that bit, doesn't it? It's quite heavy. So the bit, the kind of cathartic moment for the audience is it's the Swiss Confederacy, yes! Yeah, that's quite heavy, isn't it?
And then act two is, yeah, discussions about constitution and how many referendums they should have.
Border management.
And smoking policy.
Finally, the federal cantons are equal.
I've got a top tip, a plug, Beans.
Okay.
Dear listeners, so there is a new book that is out that I've hoovered up by It's a debut by the author Becca Rogers. I'm just holding it up in case people are watching. It's called The Girl with Gills. And it's bloody excellent. It's brand new. It's a Devonshire author, which is how I've come across it. It's sort of fantasy, kind of. I think the publishers say it's sort of aimed at like middle grade, which I think means like sort of 9+. But I don't hold too much stock in that because I think, because I'm a 45-year-old man and I really enjoyed it. And you could be younger than 9 and really enjoy it. There are some quite terrifying villains. So I think, you know, if you're buying it for a child, bear that in mind. Sort of fantasy, story, bit of humour, bit of menace. It's really good stuff.
Sounds great.
If you like books, novels, or if you like young people who like novels, there you go. Becca Rogers, The Girl with Gills.
Sounds great.
It's good, yeah.
Time to read your emails.
Yes, please.
Ipswich.
Hello, Ipswich.
Has sent us a version of our email jingle.
Oh, great.
He says, "Dear Beans, once a couple of years ago, I was absentmindedly singing the emails jingle to myself while my partner cooked us dinner. Mm-hmm. I tried to get a sort of call and response thing going, where I would sing a line and she would complete it.
Nice.
She was not up for this and got increasingly annoyed as we progressed through the jingle. I clearly crossed the line because when I got to the line, 'This represents progress, like a robot,' she slammed down the knife she was using, looked at me straight in the eye and said with an exasperated shrug, 'Fucking a clown?'"
Okay.
I have, of course, recorded a version with these words. I used to be a keen amateur bossa nova guitarist and a not that keen professional opera singer.
Okay.
So I hope that this fusion of styles is accurately represented in my offering.
It's interesting.
Best wishes, Ipswich.
Thank you, Ipswich. And yeah, I'd advise listeners to be, I mean, just generally be very careful trying to get any sort of call and response activity going with anyone knife wielding, I would say.
Yes, good point.
Read the room.
Okay, here goes.
Oh, yes, please. Ooh, the bossa nova.
Anyone fancy some small plates of food?
When you send an email,
oh, yeah,
you must give thanks to the postmaster that came before. When you send an email, this represents progress, like a robot fucking a clown. A beautiful clown.
Oh, what a perfect evening this has been.
We've had an email from Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
From New Zealand.
Lovely.
Play the Diamond Harbour jingle.
Oh, lovely. It's been a while.
It's been such a long time.
Oh, it's a real favourite.
Diamonds in their eyes and diamonds in the sea. Come with us and meet the families of Diamond Harbour.
On my way home from work, I saw an injured seagull sitting on the hard shoulder of a motorway looking sad.
Oh, dear.
Aww.
Being a kind person, I stopped to help it. I took off my cardigan to wrap it up and got a big hold-all shopping bag from my car to transport it to the emergency vet. I then realised this was not a small gull. This was one of those massive alligator-beaked ones with a huge wingspan. As soon as I gently put my cardi over it, it went into beast mode.
Yeah. Ben, can I just quickly preempt? Because I've heard this story 1,000 times, because they've got such a wide wingspan. Is this the one where she's accidentally left two of the windows on the car open on each side, the bird's wings extend out of the windows, flap crazily because it's panicking.
And she's gone into the international flight path. Yeah,
she's gone into the international flight path.
She set off a ballistic missile alarm in North Korea.
Because it is a tale as old as time. And she's now writing this from a North Korean jail.
And Three Bean Salad is the only thing they're allowed to listen to.
It doesn't bear thinking about.
And in North Korea, you don't get one call, you get one email. And she's doing it to us. We can't help you. I'm sorry. But anyway, okay, let's hear it out.
It went into beast mode, biting my arms, screaming in a guttural human way, and bashing me in the face with its wings.
That might have been her own screams she was confusing with the gulls. Yeah. That can happen in a gull melee.
Yeah.
And shitting a lot.
Again, that could have been her or the gull. You just don't know.
I kept cradling and shushing it because traffic was driving past and I didn't want it to flap into the cars.
Yeah.
who were slowing down to watch a middle-aged lady apparently trying to force an aggressive seagull to wear her cardigan. But I didn't care. I was determined to save this bastard. I eventually managed to get it into the bag, checked it was okay, and secured the top with gaps to breathe and put it in the back of my hatchback, then called the emergency vet to announce dramatically that I was incoming with a large injured seabird.
Can I say, that's a point where you start to think twice about whether you really wanted to be an emergency vet when you get that call. Is this really what I want? A woman's coming in with a fucking kestrel in a cardigan.
Right under the desk. Lock the doors.
For fuck's sake.
All the time, I talked soothingly to the now quiet bagged gull about how it'd soon be soaring high above the beaches, and I would wave to it and share chips. When I arrived, I ran in and handed the bag to the vet, feeling like the ultimate saviour of feathered friends. He looked inside it and he looked at me, confused, with my bloodied, scratched arms, feathers stuck in my hair, and wearing bird shit covered clothes. And then he said, "It's dead."
God.
He then asked me if I had fought the gull. Why had I fought the gull?
Oh, no.
Oh. Did I know it was dead when I brought it in? Or did I want its body back like it was some kind of hunting prize?
Well, it's true. A gull beak mounted correctly on a wall does confer a certain a kind of snug. It's got that kind of herger feeling, hasn't it? If you go into a room full of gull beaks, it really creates a nice kind of Nordic lodge sort of feel, doesn't it?
I declined. They still charged me for the full emergency vet checkup and disposal of large bird. I cried all the way home. It's a really tragic story, though.
Oh, Sharon.
It is a tragic story. Okay, on the one hand, it's a tragic story, and I think, obviously, it came from a good place for Sharon, what she's trying to do. But you can't... If you just find an animal that's in trouble, you can't just take it to a vet. I mean, like, that's nature. Like, nature is happening. You can't just go and find pigeons that are in trouble and take them to vets and expect vets to kind of combat nature. I mean, nature is... Animals get in trouble, they die, they fight each other. You can't just be getting them all to vets the whole time.
I once rang the RSPCA about a seagull that was in a bad way, and I said, "Oh, I've found the seagull, it's a bad way," and they kind of went, "And?"
It's nature. What, do you know about nature? And you're like, "Yes, I do. The Quardons came down to this planet 2 million years ago with a big 3D printer. And they printed out the dreams of Quardonneichnil, the Lord of Quardonia at the time.
Protected from dual carriageways."
Anyway, she's also sent in a second story, which is a bit less tragic, perhaps.
Yeah.
A bit of a hippie friend of mine kept her baby's placenta and organised a beautiful family ceremony on a clifftop 2 days after the birth to return the placenta to nature's amniotic fluid, brackets the sea. Long story short, she threw it over, a swarm of seagulls intercepted it, had a massive violent fight, tore it apart, gobbling down globules of placenta, all while screaming and spraying bloody tissue and fluids all over their beautiful clifftop organic vegan picnic and her kids.
That is incredible. That is amazing.
My word.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, you could probably spin that all right, though, can't you? I mean, it's nature in action. It's atavistic.
Yeah.
It's truly engaging with the
it's nourishing, you know. Yeah. It's probably the best meal. It's better than eating chips all the time, isn't it? It's quite good for them.
Well, thank you, Sharon. That's
Sharon, that's really made my day, actually.
That was
lovely.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Sharon. But again, my vet's point is quite a strong one, because otherwise, like in Attenborough documentaries, they would always be like,
"These termites are looking a bit peaky."
Calling up. "Hello, Chiswick Vets. Hi. So we've got
17,000 termites.
Okay. Get ready. We're coming. We're going to be there in about... So we're flying from the Galapagos Islands. We'll be there. We're in a military aircraft. We'll be there in about T-minus 17 hours. Get ready. Bring in the emergency vets. Bring in people from the street. We're bringing 170,000 termites. And they're confused and angry.
Some of them may be malnourished.
A lot of them, if you think you're injured, you're going to need to make those little tiny, little funny lampshade things for dogs, but for termites. We're going to need 200,000 of those, just in case.
They do appear to be suffering from motion sickness. They don't like flying at all, so it's making things worse.
And they're also reproducing exponentially. So times everything I'm saying by 5 every 5 minutes.
I think, though, Henry, on a serious note, there are certain animals they would help, right? If you found an injured deer or something, would the RSPCA be interested in that?
don't know.
Well, they might, because they're beautiful and
it's interesting.
Magic.
Where do you draw the line? And what are the protocols? What
they
decides?
Probably do have protocols. I mean, that's part of like Dartmoor Rangers will have like that's the thing where you can call out like a Dartmoor Ranger type and they'll come and but they'll just put a bullet through the back of the deer's head. I think. Do you know what I mean?
I see.
That's just people who are allowed to carry a gun in a locked box in their Range Rover.
So you can call in a hit on a.
I think
deer.
You can call. I think, and maybe I'm wrong. I would genuinely get a. Be interested if someone does know, but I think in Dartmoor you can call in a hit on an injured critter.
I would be interested if we've got any vets listening, like what wild things would, because I remember when I was a kid I'd watch Animal Hospital,
yeah,
and sometimes they'd have a barn owl or something, wouldn't they?
I think the weird, okay, here's what I'm guessing, it's got to be something to do with pet status, yeah. So vets are there for pets, right?
And yeah, or agricultural, you know, units.
Oh, okay, there's agricultural vets, but let's talk about urban vets.
Yeah.
So in an urban vet, it's pets.
It's pets and mafiosi. Yeah,
pets and mafiosi. What? So what? They'll. So is that when? Is that the kind of no police doctor?
Yeah.
As you go
to
the vet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll
because they can stitch up a wound. They can pull a bullet out of a flank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give you some budgie antibiotics. Send you on your way.
So it's animals which. I suppose in a way this covers agricultural animals as well, maybe, in that it's an animal which a human has declared to have a certain status, be it pet or livestock.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, obviously, that's cats and dogs for pets,
mm-hmm.
swine and ungulates,
mm-hmm.
and poultry. But I suppose, I wonder if a kid, say, discovers a little barn owl chick,
yeah,
and you take it to the vet, does that mean, has that interaction between the human and the animal... Does that now mean that the animal qualifies as... Because there's a human that cares about it. Because basically vets are not just curing animals unless there's a human involved, are they?
Yeah, owls are not self-presenting. Yeah.
They're not yeah. Exactly. They're no. Very, very bad at that. And it's a real problem. Then none of them have got the NHS app. And they just think they'll muddle through. I see, basically, the animal kingdom has the provincial dad attitude to its own health, which is we'll just muddle through.
Yeah. I don't want to make a fuss.
Do we need... an NHS for all animals.
To really finally bankrupt.
to really in a, make probably, Keir Starmer sleep even worse at night than
probably
he
probably within a 24-hour period, probably.
Yeah.
Probably would bankrupt the nation. Yeah.
Permanently.
Yeah, that's it.
A couple of bollockings just to sort of mop up. I think we've even said this before, Henry, lemons aren't a product of evolution because they are man-made. They're a man-made crossbreed of various citron fruits to create the lemon.
Various citrons?
Citron fruits, that's what he said. They are man-made by the car manufacturer, which makes its fortune.
Yeah. And of course, what are citrons made of? Tungsten.
Yeah. It all comes back.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bollocking accepted.
Now, we've had an email from Omo.
Okay.
I'm interested in this in a kind of moral quandary sort of way.
Hmm.
A bit like Regifor's The Moral Maze with Michael Burke.
Okay.
Dear Beans, I was shocked and appalled at the lack of public bollockings provided to Ben on last week's episode from his comments from the previous week. In absolutely no way is it acceptable to text anyone, let alone a tradesman, at 1:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh. I picked Ben up on that at the time.
Yeah, he got. There was some blowback from the other two beans.
There was intra bollock. We do try and police as much of this stuff as we can internally.
Bollockings. Yeah.
Okay. Just to remind listeners that my boiler stopped working. I texted a boiler engineer at 1:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
He replied at 5:40, I think, and came around at 7 a.m. Fixed it and then went to a stag do. I don't see anything wrong with this picture.
Oh, well, so that's a bollock back, Omo, in case you weren't clear.
<Where's the bollock>
If you'll bollock me, then I'll bollock you. Bollock back.
Now, my thinking is this, but maybe I'm wrong. At night, people turn off their sound on their phone, right?
I don't think I do, no.
That's madness.
I think if the late night call comes, I want to hear it because it's... Because it's an emergency.
But what if it's me sending you a GIF on WhatsApp?
Now, I go to airplane mode. Yeah.
Do you?
But it feels like you ought to be able to have certain contacts that can call you through that in an emergency.
Yeah, you can set it up in such a way.
Okay, yeah. That feels like a good idea.
So my feeling is if you don't want to get notifications from some bloke in the middle of the night, you can just turn that off.
I would say, in fairness to Ben, I think if I worked if I had that a trade like that, like if I was, you know, plumber or a carpenter or a boiler engineer, then I think I would be turning off my phone at night.
Yeah.
But I am not. So there's no one who has got a problem in their house or their workplace that at 1 o'clock is saying, I think I better call Mike to sort this out. Do you know what I mean? I'm coming in support of you there, Ben, with your point. I think this guy, if it's his trade, is sort of, you know, it's up to him if he does that or not.
Yeah.
Also, I sympathise with you, Ben, because I actually do a slightly similar thing, which is I'll quite often text people or send emails that are work-related at antisocial times, late in the evening or weekends. But the reason I do it is I'm not expecting a reply instantly, but it's more I've had this thought now. Yeah. If I don't send it now, I'll forget to send it.
I've started putting delays on that thing.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I've started doing that because I find it like I'll catch up with, like, it'll be the middle of the night and that's when I catch up with a bit of admin, but I don't want to. Yeah. Because there's also a couple of people in my life, in my work life, who will reply immediately.
Yeah.
Who might, and I, yeah. So for them,
is there a way of sending an email with a delay on it?
Yeah, yeah. Even I can do it. I mean, it's simple.
Because I'll have an illustration idea, like, it's a terrapin orchestra. We need to create a terrapin orchestra.
Which is the epitome of an idea that can wait.
It probably can actually wait. Also, you get a cool down period on your own idea, which is quite good. Because you might decide to then not send it after all.
Yeah. And it should be a brass band.
Clearly should be a brass band.
Mm.
Of chameleons. Finally, email from Harry.
Hello, Harry.
Hi, Harry.
I would like to start with good news.
Great.
About this story, which is that my hands and the hands of all involved were unharmed.
Good, 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 good.
Ah, that's a relief.
I was enjoying the recent episode about the 60s whilst driving. I was about 30 seconds from making the last turn of the journey when Henry stated, "I love doo-wop," and then started singing a rendition of Mr. Sandman, in which he sung the parts of 5 different people all at once. It was all a bit of a blur, so I'm not sure exactly what was going through my head. Maybe it was that I was so stunned and impressed by his ability to become an entire a cappella group that I could no longer focus on anything else. However, I would argue the much more likely explanation is that it was fucking awful, and I became disorientated by the sound as if it were a sonic weapon.
It's often not the most likely explanation, though, isn't it, in life?
Causing me to crash directly into the back of the car in front of me.
Oh, shit. No. Sorry. God. So for insurance purposes, does that mean I'm potentially...
I think you're culpable, Henry.
I'm culpable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he says, I will accept a Hyundai i10 as compensation as my car is now written off.
Oh, Harry.
Well, we can dish those out. That costs us nothing, doesn't it? We're so deep with Hyundai
post,
now.
Harry,
that's in the post right now.
He says, I'm guessing I just write Pompadour in the insurance form and you'll sort the rest.
Yeah. We've got magistrates in place and everyone's in place. Yeah, it's all set.
The trouble is... if anything, because it will be one Hyundai every week now for the rest of your life. So if anything, it becomes a problem, doesn't it, is dealing with the amount of Hyundais you're going to get. Because it's the full Hyundai life package, isn't it, that we offer.
And if you're not in, they will just leave them by your front door.
They'll leave them by your front door.
Yeah.
Each one has a slightly different spec. So one of them will have all the handles on the inside.
We'll have all of the steering wheels on the outside.
There.
One of them will have a sun floor.
Essentially, they're hiccups, aren't they? They're mistakes from the factory, but we get them for free.
It's time to pay the ferryman. Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Thanks to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Patreon.com/3beansalad. And we do bonus episodes and we do ad-free episodes. We do video episodes.
We're doing something that's never been done before, which is we're doing a not live. That's still exciting. Recording of us going to see ABBA Voyage, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
That's the worst sales pitch I've ever heard for anything.
We're all going to see ABBA Voyage on Monday, and we're going to
such a weak sales pitch.
It is weak, isn't it? I feel like I'm just saying we're going to see Abba Voyage. But then we're going to pod content to and from and before and after, and if we're allowed, during, about the whole experience.
Anyway, if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike from the Sean Bean Lounge.
You do indeed.
Where Mike was last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sultana's show and tell, wasn't it?
It was.
It's always quite a fun one.
And here's my report.
It was Sultana's show and tell last night at the Sean Bean Lounge, which, as usual, opened with the ritual Sultanaization of a volunteer, who this year was Jamie Robertson, who was plucked, washed, and left out to dry in the sun before being eaten by ants. Richie Popsy Poodle, Amog, Adria Solana, and John James Davis presented first and delighted the lounge with the Sultana that was ineffectively used to plug the hydrogen gas leak on the Hindenburg airship. A tough act to follow, and sure enough, Stuart Coutts, Daphne Pickering, Jenny Larwood, and Gareth Dawson found themselves booed out of the lounge after merely dressing up as the four Sultanas of the apocalypse. Sean Andrew and Headers brought the bar back up again with the Sultana that once adorned the crown of the King of Bohemia, while Adrian Golding, Dawn Pettit, and Robert Bird also delighted with a Sultana that was exactly the shape of a miniature Pat Cash. Kel Starr and Olivia Vautour teamed up with Jessamy Massingham and Baron Wagtail to recreate Terry Wogan's famously slightly awkward 1991 interview with David Bowie's Tin Machine using, you guessed it, Sultanas. This led Sam Presley-Murray, Holly Cooper and Craig Harris, who'd planned the same thing, to panic and attempt to use their Sultanas to reenact the Battle of Bosworth. The fact that none of the Sultanas were wearing armour made this a ridiculous spectacle, and Matthew Austin and Mark Walker took matters into their own hands by incorporating the vulnerable Sultanas into a bread and butter pudding. Mishark, Miss Marple, Leah and Ben took exception to this as they were the duty Sultana marshals and ordered the pudding be left uneaten until it was too cold to be appetizing. Then things really kicked off. Helen, Colin Harper, Ben Raffle and Frankie Chestnuts had literally just rented 14 quarts of hot custard and had nothing better to do with it than cause trouble. They custard tsunamied Carl Larson and Eddie Patterson, Sultana Notre Dame, and trapped Nathaniel Woodward Court, Richard and Gwackhands, Sultana Panama Canal, under a thick custard skin. Oliver and Robert, desperate to protect the Sultana they'd found in Area 51, made a Sultana barricade in the corner of the lounge using the Sultanas Francis Holyfield, Lucy Wright and David Barnes were planning on using for a definitive lecture on the social structures of wasps. Tuffin Puffin mistook this for staging of a performance of Les Miserables Sultana style. Word of this spread rapidly and seemed to be the only thing stopping the evening from descending into an all-out riot. Joe, Rathcool and GR quickly divided the principal singing roles between them and performed to acclaim with the aid of Sam as Sultana puppeteer and Hayley Linney as Sultana understudy. Thanks all.
Okay, that's the show. We're going to finish off with a version of the theme tune. Actually, it's not a version of the theme tune. So this week, basically, somebody sent in a version of the Pam jingle.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which is fantastic, but it's quite long. Yeah. And I felt like if we put it in the middle of the show, it might feel like a bit of a long thing.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this, please.
So it's going to stand in for the theme tune. It's from Paul from Bremen.
Thanks, Paul.
Since the initial episode of Dogs back in 2023, I've had an overwhelming desire and a compulsion to give credit to a regular member but lesser-known collaborator of the trio. Yes, you have the theme tune variations. Yes, you have the jingles. Yes, you have each other. However, what you do not have, as far as I'm aware, is a late-night, smoked-filled room, beer-swilling, hat-tipping, plinky-plonky, dinky-donky, down-to-Margate pie-and-mash plate of Chaz and Dave-style tribute to the Enigma of Pam. Oh.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Paul. This is wonderful.
Please consider this to be my tribute to the myth and mystery of Pam, Paul from
Lovely, Paul. Thank you so much. I'm very excited.
Right. That's Thanks the end of the show. Everybody. See you next time. Cheerio. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Pam. Pam. Oh, you've set her off now.
There she is. Pam.
Pam.
Bang on cue.
Pam.
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 Ben.
Pam.
Me and you, we just sit back and enjoy the show.
So we just sit around and chatter in our rooms with one another, and we pop in all the salad in a bowl made for three. She will interrupt and natter, the trifecta seems to shatter, cause she's adding all the chaos and a fourth to the bean. She's a Hungarian fizzler, carnivorous emperor, who's in mysterious circles cause she can't see the lines. She's a furry quadrupedal, only things that her retrievals go like Chamelier is bathing in a barrel of brine. She lays her belly down and she is very hessian. She is only 2 years old and now she's started to spew. Hind legs, they start to loosen. Downward dog is a solution to be spatchcocking positions that impossible for humans.
The spluting.
Good.
good girl Pam.
What's that?
Dogs. Good girl Pam. Good girl Pam.
Belly up.
Belly down.
Ooh.
She was a lockdown puppy that grew. So then we came up with a plan to stop her trying to chew. It was a table lit fiasco, now they're smothered in Tabasco. That problem with the reasoning is she loves spicy seasoning. She had the training that we thought that we thought we had resources. A primal fear of cats infuses mega dogs with horses. A lurid technicolor with its lava lamp tones. And her groovy verses filled with all their dog and their bones. She'll bounce up upon the sofa like some cruise jumping on Oprah. Igniting bad behaviors is the scent of Nigel Havers. And if she's feeling down and if she drops to the floor, we shampoo her many nipples cause they're just too sore.
Good girl Pam.
The greatest love story ever told.
Good girl Pam.
Good girl Pam. Good girl Pam. Good girl Pam.
Clean Pam's nipples.
Good girl Pam.
Clean Pam's nipples.
Good girl Pam.
Clean Pam's nipples.
Good girl Pam.
Nipples.
Ooh. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Incredible.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolute banger. Thanks, Paul. Superb. I think Pam really feels seen. Thank you.